Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas, dramatized for the radio by Herbert Williams. Philip Maddock plays the character of Old Will, and Freddie Jones the character of Old Jim.
Always on Christmas night, there was music. An uncle played the piano, a cousin sang Cherry Ripe, and an auntie sang Drake's Drum. And it was very warm in the little house. One Christmas was so much like another in those years round the Seatown corner now, and out of all sound except the distant speaking or the voices I sometimes hear a moment before sleep, that I can never remember whether it snowed for 6 days and 6 nights when I was 12, or whether it snowed for 12 days and 12 nights when I was 6.
You can never remember nothing, Will.
Jim, so it's you.
Talking to yourself again, is it?
That's about it.
Don't change, do you? Always were a bit funny.
I was talking about Christmas, like it was in the old days.
Oh, aye. Plenty of snow about then, all right?
Oh, I should say.
Damn, but we had some fun. You and me, Jack and Dan, remember?
Well, how could I forget?
Oh, that's a good one. You got a memory like a sieve.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, yes, you have.
Hey, I remember a lot of things.
Like what?
Cats.
What?
Cats. The Christmas Eve cats in your garden.
Oh, good heavens.
Sleek and long as jaguars and horrible whiskers.
Well, look.
Spitting and snarling.
Do you see what I see?
Slinking and sidling on the whitest
back of the floor. Both of us, just as we used to be.
Jim!
Shh! Scare them away!
What if they don't come?
Of course they'll come.
Patient, cold and callous. Our hands wrapped in socks, we waited to snowball the cats.
They always come.
The lynx-eyed hunters, Jim and I, fur-capped and moccasin trappers from Hudson Bay, off Mumbles Road.
You ready for them, Will?
Aye, but it's freezing, man. My fingers are dropping off.
They'll be here any second. There'll be a sis.
Ow!
I'll shove this snowball down your gobbin a minute, you twat.
I did too, remember?
I was coughing up winter in the middle of June.
See what you've done now? You scared them away. Shh, your son.
It was like the far-off challenge of our enemy and prey, the neighbor's polar cat.
Yes, ma'am. The house on fire. Quick.
And we ran down the garden with the snowballs in our arms towards the house. And smoke, indeed, was pouring out of the dining room. And the gong was bombolating, and Mrs. Prothero was announcing ruin like a town crier in Pompeii. This was better than all the cats in Wales standing on the wall in a row. We bounded into the house, laden with snowballs.
Fire! Fire! Where's the fire, man? Use your eyes, boy!
There was no fire to be seen, only clouds of smoke, and Mr. Prothero standing in the middle of them, smacking at the smoke with a slipper.
A fine Christmas, I must say. A fine Christmas.
Dad, you all right?
Fire! Police! Help!
There's a fire!
No, he's not. There's only smoke.
And Mr. Prothero waving his slipper as though he were conducting.
Call the fire brigade!
Well, they won't be there, girl. It's Christmas.
Oh, do something, boys. Do something!
So we threw all our snowballs into the smoke. I think we missed Mr. Prothero.
Oh, you're blithering.
No, we didn't.
The phone box on the corner.
Let's call the police as well.
And the ambulance.
And Ernie Jenkins. He likes fires.
But we only called the fire brigade. We thought there'd be dozens of them trampling the snow to death in their huge, shiny boots and drowning the wisteria. We stood agog and amagog as the fire engine juddered to a stop and the crew tumbled out. All three of them.
Where's the fire, boys?
There, in the house.
Run the hose in.
Keep clear, you boys. This is perilous work.
The neighbour's polar cat appeared, crouching in the snow, ready to pounce on Mr. Prothero.
Fire! Fire!
Come on out, you stupid woman. Come on, out!
They got out just in time before the fireman turned the water on.
Let him have it, Oscar! There you fire the man!
Nobody could have had a noisier Christmas Eve. And when the fireman turned off the hose and was standing in the wet, smoky room, Jim's aunt, Miss Prothero, came downstairs and peered in at them. Jim and I waited very quietly to hear what she would say to them.
She looked at the firemen in their shining helmets, standing among the smoke and cinders and dissolving snowballs, and she said,
"Would you like anything to read?"
There were wolves in Wales then, and birds the colour of red flannel petticoats would whisk past the harp-shaped hills, and we used to chase with the jawbones of deacons, the English and the bears.
Don't be daft, man. We never did any of that.
Oh, yes, we did. You've forgotten.
You're the one who forgets.
No, I remember how the snow was shaken from the whitewash buckets down the sky and came shawling out of the ground and swam and drifted out of the arms and hands and bodies of the trees and how it grew overnight on the roofs of the houses.
Like a pure and grandfather moss.
You see, you remember too.
And then there were the postmen, just ordinary postmen, fond of walking and dogs.
And Christmas and snow.
Got anything for us, Mr. Postman? Got any of them gobstoppers? You know, the ones that change colour when you suck. Got any boxing gloves?
Marbles?
Train sets?
Bubble gum?
We'll give you something in a minute.
What's that, then?
Black eye if you don't clear off.
With sprinkling eyes and wind-cherried noses, on spread, frozen feet, they crunched up to the doors and mittened on them manfully. And in the little drifted porches, the postmen huffed and puffed, making ghosts with their breath.
Jogging from foot to foot.
Like small boys wanting to go out.
Good morning, postman. Compliments of the season to you.
Oh, same to you, sir. Thank you. Lousy tanner. Can you spare it?
But all we could hear was a ringing of bells.
Those aren't doorbells, you idiot.
You forget. The bells were ringing inside us.
Speak for yourself.
And it seemed that all the churches boomed for joy into my window, and the weathercocks crew for Christmas on our fence.
And then there were the presents.
Useful presents. Engulfing mufflers of the old coach days, and mittens made for giant sleuths. Zebra scarves of a substance like silky gum that could be tug-of-war down to the galoshes.
Blinding tam-o'-shanters like patchwork tea cozies and bunny-suited busbies and balaclavas for victims of head-shrinking tribes. And from aunts who always wore wool next to the skin, there were moustached and rasping vests that made you wonder how the aunts had any skin left at all.
And books that told me everything about the wasp. Except why...
Come along now, you two. Make yourself useful.
How, ma'am?
Oh, run along to the shop to get me some presents for your cousins.
What kind of presents, ma'am?
Oh, useless presents, of course.
Cousins are always useless, aren't they?
What do you want, Mrs. Thomas?
Well, bags of jelly babies for a start.
Moist and many-coloured jelly babies.
And a flag.
A folded flag.
And let me see now. Oh, yes, a false nose.
I'll wear that.
You need to. Your snout's horrible.
And a tram conductor's cap and a machine that punches tickets.
A catapult, ma'am?
No, never a catapult.
Oh, come on, ma'am.
A hatchet, Mrs. Thomas. Just a little one.
Never in this world.
Sweets, then?
Any amount. Hard boils, toffee, fudge and all sorts. Crunchies, cracklings, humbugs, glaciers, marzipan. Oh, and butter Welsh for the Welsh. Now, run along now. Don't waste any more time.
Remember that celluloid duck someone gave me, Will? That was useless, all right.
Can't say I do.
Oh, you must do, man. It made a terrible noise.
Oh, man alive. Sounds like a cat wanting to be a cow.
That's it. That's just it.
Hey, Jim. What's happening now? Can you see?
Yes. You're opening your presents. Look.
It's Christmas morning.
There's a painting book and tin soldiers.
Snakes and families, happy ladders, easy hobby games for little engineers, complete with instructions.
Easy.
For Leonardo.
And what's this? hiding in the corner like a sneak. You are putting something in your mouth. What is it?
Open, boys! You hear me? Open at once!
Look out! The picture is coming off. Oh, grab it, Will. Oh, no. My favorite picture.
I'm sorry, Mum.
Never mind, son. It's Christmas.
Sorry, Mum. Get back to the presents. Packets of sweet cigarettes, remember? You put one in your mouth and stood at the corner for hours waiting for some old lady to scold you.
And when she didn't come, you ate it.
With a smirk.
And watched the old man with yellow gloves taking his constitutional to the White Bowling Green and back.
With spots of snow.
The chapel goers came out from the Christmas morning service full of righteousness and huge appetites.
They had taproom noses and huddled their stiff black feathers against the irreligious snow.
Then there were the two hearty young men with big pipes blazing.
Here they come!
They spilt them with snowballs!
Grease balls!
Cannonballs!
Mothballs!
They look like stewed onions to me. Bet they'll be teaching us soon.
They trudged, and speaking, down to the forlorn sea.
To work up an appetite, to blow away the fumes.
Who knows? They walked into the waves until nothing was left but the two curling smoke clouds of their inextinguishable briars.
Wonder if they'll teach us that.
Will? Will? Where are you, Will?
Come in now, Mum.
And there I'd go, slapdashing home with the smell of gravy and birds and brandy and mince and pudding all coiling up to my nostrils.
Until you saw the boy.
What boy?
The one who was the dead spit of you.
Oh, that one.
He came out of a side lane with a pink-tipped cigarette and a black eye, cocky as a bullfinch.
I hate you. I'm going to blow you away with my whistle.
But before I could, he put his whistle to his lips and blew. And gobbling faces, their cheeks bulging with goose, pressed against their tinseled windows the whole length of the white, echoing street.
I told you not to blow that whistle, didn't I?
I didn't, Mum. It was him.
Who?
That boy.
Where?
There was no one there.
You were the dead spit of yourself, Will.
Ow!
Don't lie to me, even if it is Christmas.
That's not fair.
Not fair, not fair. Nothing's fair. Tell him, Jim.
He's too young to know that. He'll have to find out.
Oh, it's not fair. Oh, just one of my cousins. She always sang Cherry Ripe on Christmas Day.
You go and listen to her then.
Look who it is, young Will. Where have you been, boy?
Out.
Well, fancy that. Hear that, Dick? He's been out.
Where have you been, my lovely? To see that the sea is still there.
Go on, listen to her, Will. She's mad as a hatter.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk. The day you talk sense, Ben, the clouds will buck your champagne.
Oh, then suit you, all right, then, wouldn't it? She drinks like a whale, boy. Don't grow up like her, whatever.
I'll try not to, Uncle Ben. What's he saying about me, Will? Don't you believe him, whatever it is?
I was telling him about the time you made love to a snowman, Anna.
Me? I don't know what snowman worth melting for.
Oh, yes, you did. Your auntie Anna would make love to anything, boy. Especially if you could drink it.
Oh, what's he all about, George? Stop him, do you hear me?
Oh, can I?
Well, he's your brother, isn't he?
Oh, I can't stop him doing nothing.
What do you call yourself? Man or mouse?
Oh, put some cheese down and I'll show you.
What's wrong with her?
A mouse! Look!
It's not a real one, Bessie. Can you do that, Will?
No.
He's sitting here good as gold, Flurry.
Well, that's a change.
Look, get rid of it, can't you?
All right, get down from that chair, girl.
Wait until you get rid of it.
Well, that's easy. Tell you what we'll do, George. We'll get a mousetrap from the kitchen and put some cheese in it. Nice and tidy.
What's it like? Oh, a nice bit of caffilly.
Stop it, you two, or I'll knock your heads together.
It's only a clockwork, Mouse Bessie.
I'd forgotten your uncles. They were real characters.
Bad ones.
And your aunties.
Worse.
Look, Auntie Bessie's at the sideboard now. What's she doing?
I could tell you.
She's pouring some wine out.
Oh, no.
What's wrong, Uncle Ben?
Your Auntie Bessie's at the elderberry. Oh, she'll be sick as a dog.
The dog was sick, too.
Was it? What a Christmas.
Meet pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it
is it? Yes, it is. It's your Auntie Hannah.
Singing like a big-bosomed, inebriated thrush in the snowbound backyard. The afternoon rumbled away. The uncles breathed like dolphins, and the snow descended. And I sat among festoons and Chinese lanterns and nibbled dates, trying to make a modern man-o-war.
Meticulously following instructions for little engineers.
And producing what might be mistaken for a seagoing tram car. Or I'd go out, my bright new boots squeaking, into the white world, onto the seaward hill.
You call on me.
And Anne.
And Jack.
We padded through the still streets, leaving huge, deep footprints on the hidden pavements. And I said,
I bet people would think there's been hippos.
What would you do if you saw a hippo coming down our street?
Trust you to ask that.
Trust you not to answer.
Didn't I?
No. Dan did.
I'd go like this. Bang! I'd throw him over the railings and roll him down the hill. And then I'd tickle him under the ear and he'd wag his tail.
What would you do if he saw two hippos?
Even Dan couldn't answer that.
Let's post Mr. Daniel a snowball through his letterbox.
Let's write things in the snow. Let's write, Mr. Daniel looks like a spaniel all over his lawn.
We walked on the white shore.
Can the fishes see it snowing?
Let's go back. See the uncles and aunties.
Back through the poor streets, where only a few children fumbled with bare red fingers in the wheel-rutted snow.
They threw snow at us.
Aunt Cat calls.
Yeah, snotty snobs. Get back to the office.
Have you up so fine?
Their voices faded away as we trudged uphill into the cries of the dock birds and the hooting of ships out in the whirling bay. And then, at tea, the recovered uncles would be jolly. And the ice cake loomed in the center of the table like a marble grave. Then it was time for tall tales.
How tall, Will?
Tall as the firemen. Tall as the cliffs at Rosselley.
I can think of a tale. The time we went singing carols.
We were always singing carols.
No, no, not like this. It was dark, pitch dark. And we walked along a long road. And at the end of it was a drive that led to a large house. And we stumbled up the darkness of the drive, each one of us afraid, each one holding a stone in his hand in case, and all of us too brave to say a word. The wind through the trees made noises, like old and unpleasant, and maybe web-footed men wheezing in caves. We reached the black bulk of the house.
What should we give them? Hark the Herald? No. Good King Wenceslas. I'll count three.
One, two, three. And we began to sing.
Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen.
Our voices, high and seemingly distant in the snow-felted darkness round the house that was occupied by nobody we knew. We stood close together near the dark door. And then a small, dry voice, like the voice of someone who has not spoken for a long time, joined our singing. A small, dry, eggshell voice from the other side of the door. A small, dry voice through the keyhole.
Though the frost was cruel, when the poor man came inside, gathering winter fever. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen when the snow came out.
When we stopped running, we were outside our house. The front room was lovely. Balloons floated under the hot water bottle gulping gas. Everything was good again and shone over the town.
Perhaps it was ghosts. Perhaps it was trolls. Let's go in and see if there's any jelly left.
And that's what we did.
He's in his hammock and a thousand mile away. Captain Arthur sleeping there below.
Always on Christmas night, there was music. An uncle played the piano, a cousin sang Cherry Ripe, and an auntie sang Drake's Drum. It was very warm in the little house. Auntie Hannah, who had got onto the parsnip wine, sang a song about bleeding hearts and death, and then another in which she said her heart was like a bird's nest. And then everybody laughed again.
Is that all?
And what else do you want?
I want to know more.
About what?
What happened next?
You know what happened. We grew up.
And I hardly saw anything of you. Until now.
That's right.
Hey. This is a funny place. You can see everything from here. You can look into the long ago and bring it all back.
Sometimes you can, Jim. Not always.
You've been here a long time, haven't you?
But you don't talk about time here. It doesn't exist.
Oh. No, I'm sorry. I'm new here, you see. I don't know things like you.
You will, boy. You will.
What's happening now, then? Everything's fading. Your house, it's going. Do something, Will.
I can't.
Why not?
It was only in our thoughts. It was our memories, Jim.
But I don't want it to go.
Oh, you have to, boy. You have to let go.
Do I?
You all do. Though it's hard at first.
I want to go home.
You are home, Jim. This is home.
Is it?
You'll find out, boy. You'll find out soon enough.
Will.
Yes?
One last look. Yes?
I don't know about
that. Oh, please.
It's not the regular thing.
Just this once.
All right, then. I'll try.
Yeah.
Just this once. As it's Christmas.
Oh, look. There you are. Looking through your bedroom window. Out into the moonlight. And the unending smoke-colored snow.
You see, you're a poet, too.
I could see the lights in the windows of all the other houses on our hill, and hear the music rising from them up the long, steadily falling night. I turned the gas down. I got into bed. I said some words to the close and holy darkness.
And then I slept.
In A Child's Christmas in Wales, Old Will was played by Philip Maddock, Old Jim by Freddie Jones, Young Will, Alan Horan, Young Jim by Owen Pillai, Mother by Lynn Hunter, Mrs. Protheroe by Victoria Putnett, Mr. Protheroe by Chris Griffiths, Uncle Ben by Dilwyn Owen, Auntie Hannah by Helen Griffin, Fireman 2 by Philip Rowlands, Small Dry Voice by Richard Elvin. Dan was Owen Bodicombe, and Jack was Chris Bodicombe. All other characters were played by members of the company. Original music was composed by Andy Price, and the play was directed in Wales by Foz Allen. A Child's Christmas in Wales by Dylan Thomas, dramatised by Herbert Williams.